kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Have a title which I would like to share and discuss today, and we're calling our teaching "The Foundation of Christianity is Repentance." The foundation of Christianity is repentance. Did you know that we trample underfoot if we think the blood of Jesus is given because we are sorry for our sins? We make a mockery of it. I don't think we actually really fully understand the blood of Jesus and that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And I really want to answer that question today, but like we always do, let's turn to the scriptures to get our leading and our guidance. And we'll turn first, if we will, to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. And we're calling our teaching "The Foundation of Christianity is Repentance." Hebrews 10 and verse 14 says this: "For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified," in other words, separated unto him. So it says quite clearly here, his offering has perfected once and for all. So in other words, all offerings, all sacrifices are now done away with. They are not needed anymore. It is done. It is finished. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world has offered himself up in his flesh. And the Father is now at peace in that sense. We are no longer enemies of God. We are reconciled through Jesus Christ. Let's also turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 10 and verses 7 to 9 of John 10, verses 7 to 9, of which Jesus speaks that he is the good shepherd, and he reveals that there is a good shepherd and there are bad shepherds as well who do not look after the flock. And in the context of what he says here in verses 7 to 9, "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures.'" And so it goes on. So he reveals himself the door, the doorway into the pen, the pastures, protection. He has the power to open and shut that door. Jesus in many ways is that open door. And you've heard me say many, many times over the years that that door, the open door, is set in the church. It is the church's message. It is the good news of the gospel. But we need to understand that we make a mockery of the blood of Jesus if we think that it's given to us because we're sorry for our sins. We may be sorry for our sins, but that is not what the blood of Jesus is for. The only reason for the infinite depth of forgiveness of our sins is the death of Jesus Christ. It is much greater and bigger. As much as your sin is, and as much as you are bound and held in your sin, there is one who is greater, because he is the one who has dealt with this, and his name is Jesus Christ. You see, our repentance, if you like, is the realization of the atonement by the cross of Christ, which he has provided for us. And so when we begin to understand the blood of the Lamb, we have to look to the cross, to its provision. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. So we see through the atonement, through the blood, where we repent of sin truly, his righteousness is imputed to us. I am made right on what Christ has achieved at Calvary, not on any of my efforts. I am made right by God's provision through his Son, Jesus Christ, and sanctification, which means I am sanctified, I am separated now. I am separated from the world. My affections, my heart are not with the world, but with God. And he says, and redemption. In other words, we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, once this drops from the head to the heart, we then start to experience the blessings that come from the throne of grace. Because once we understand this, we're going to start to understand blessings. We're going to understand what comes from the throne of grace. Because where there is no real joy and excitement in a Christian's life, I have to question whether they really have been saved. You see, that death sentence has to be in us if it's dealt with. That is our sin. Because it has to be put to death. We say, don't we, that the true Christian who's born again, you have to go to your own funeral and watch your funeral. We have to see that Christ has provided and done it all for us. And when there's not that joy and that gratitude and that wanting to share and talk about the Lord and have fellowship with God's people, there is then something that's radically wrong with that person who's calling themselves a Christian. Because you cannot help but if you've been truly forgiven, your sin is dealt with at the cross. You are experiencing that new creation, the life of Christ in you. You cannot help but talk and share and experience that. It comes out in your being. You express it. That's why Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. That is why we want to be together in fellowship. That is God's family. That is where he manifests himself. Where two or three are gathered together, he says, in my name. We all need to feed off that, to help with our joy and our praise and our worship and to keep us healthy and alive as believers. We can soon go very stale. And how the enemy tries to work this one, because he knows where the power lies. He knows when God's people come together, and there the presence of God is. He always sits in the meet in the presence, healing, deliverance, salvation. And that is what we are dependent upon. But not only that, he also sets conviction of sin. You see, the conviction of sin is uncommon to a person who is in the world. Conviction of sin doesn't bother the world out there. Though they may feel sorry they've done some things and shed a few tears, but they do not have the conviction of sin. They do not have that understanding that they have offended Almighty God. They have, in other words, missed the mark. In other words, they do not have an understanding of God, how God feels. Their eyes are not open to the Word of God, and that's why they can sin and do what they do, because they don't have that conviction. They have a conscience, but we know that the world is going against its conscience, and eventually the conscience will not work anymore. It will not convict anymore. You need to read Romans chapter 1, where it's God gives them over to a reprobate mind. Their conscience becomes seared. And there go I by the grace of God. You see, the Holy Spirit has to come to convict. And this is absolutely paramount. And we thank God for this. For example, in John 16 and verse 8. John 16 and verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So thank God the Holy Spirit comes to convict of sin. You see, this is done not for your relationship with others. You're not convicted of sin so that it means that you can get on with your brother and sister, that it gives you access for fellowship. It's a lot more than that. It's God himself. When we deal with sin, when we deal with shortcomings in our life, when we deal with unbelief in our life, it's between you and God. Because it is God who provides. It is God who deals with that problem. And too often we turn to other means, hoping that they can help us or whatever it would be. It isn't. True repentance, godly repentance, is between you and God. Many of the saints had to learn this. What does it say in Psalm 51 and verse 41? Psalm 51 and... Psalm 51 verse 4. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. So the psalmist has learnt through shortcomings, through sin, it's against you I have done it. And we will never really know true forgiveness until we realize the one we do it unto. When we realize that God has provided through his Son dealing with sin, rebellion, unbelief, that is the one we deal with. And we begin to realize that we still have not fully understand his provision. And yet he's teaching us this, isn't he? The same as he's teaching us tonight. He's showing us that the foundation of Christianity is repentance, because we then not only can be saved, we can also be blessed, and we can also be delivered and healed. A forgiven person is one who truly knows that holy repentance. You know that forgiveness. You see, it always brings a person to truly say, I have sinned. That is a sign that God is at work. They are not in any way trying to justify themselves. You see, most are only sorry for making maybe a foolish mistake, or I looked silly, which often comes because self wants its own way. And so when we miss the mark, or we've sinned, or whatever it is, we're more concerned about what it looks like, or who it may affect, or whatever it is. And that can have a place, but it's far, far, far greater and bigger than that. It's the one I do it to, who provided, who gave his life for me. That is the question. And until we get that one from our heads to our hearts, we're not really going to fully understand. And very often, pride is the problem that gets in the way. You see, we do struggle at times. We do overcome with sins. We do fall short. God knows this. And God has provided this. And you see that the Holy Spirit begins that foundation, if you like. He comes to convict. He comes to teach us how to repent, how to have our sins dealt with by the blood of Jesus. That is why he has come to deal with this. Again, I often keep reminding you, this is the reason why Jesus is the high priest who sits at the right hand and supplicates, because he's dealing still with sin. Shortcomings. We are missing the mark. And the Holy Spirit brings us into this conviction. He brings us where he brings these things to the surface. Suddenly you find that you are challenged with something. It seems there's something that's come to the surface. What is this? That's the Holy Spirit convicting. He's going to deal with this. This is the right time now, because this is where it would be true godly repentance. Before, it was just lip service. You felt sorry for yourself. See, God knows. What does it say in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19? Galatians 4 and verse 19. My little children, for whom I labour in birth again until Christ is formed in you. What is the apostle saying there? The apostle saying, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for those shortcomings, those areas of unbelief, sin, until you eventually realise Christ who's formed in you. When you come to that understanding of Christ formed in you, you are understanding he's dealt with sin in my life. and unbelief. That is what it's about. The foundation of Christianity is repentance. And this is why we have to stay with the Word of God. And we cannot alter, we cannot water it down, because the gift of repentance is found in the Word of God as the Holy Spirit anoints it and ministers it to our hearts. You know, the old Puritans, they prayed for saints that they would have the gift of tears. Well, I'm all for tears, but make sure that they are godly tears. Because there's something in the Bible that speaks about tears. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews 12, verses 16 to 17. The story of Jacob and Esau. You know that story very well. He sold his birthright. And this is a fearful thing, what is said here in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 to 17. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently, or carefully, it says, with tears. In other words, he thought he meant it. He thought he was sincere. But God was not accepting it. So, yes, there's nothing wrong with tears. But make sure they are tears that come out of true repentance. There's a difference. You see, if pride is in the way of true repentance, then you remain in your sin. How do you know you remain in your sin? Because you've gone through the motions of repentance, you've said the right words, because you know what the scriptures say, but you've also justified yourself. You have given excuses because of your shortcoming, because of your sin. And there is the giveaway. Sin is sin. Unbelief is unbelief. I am the problem. I shouldn't have it, but sadly it is there. And I have done this to God Almighty. I'm doing this to my Saviour. And I pray that he will bring true repentance in my life and my heart, that I can get to that place to be delivered from this. When you start to hear saints saying that sort of thing, you know they're saved. You know they've had an encounter with Almighty God. All need to examine this in our areas of our heart, because we have fallen short in this. You see, we're only restored to right standing with God through the death of Jesus Christ. I am restored in right standing because of what it cost him. It cost him his life. God should never have died. Death is not in God. He had to divest himself, take on the form of a bondservant in the likeness of man, to die, to taste of death, to be that sin bearer. That should never have been. And that is his provision. So we're only ever restored to that standing with God through the death of Jesus Christ. It's all because of his death. This is why I said the foundation of Christianity is repentance. It is its foundation. Because the foundation is Jesus Christ, and he is the one who has provided for this. And brothers and sisters, you can't plead for this. We've already read you Esau. He was pleading for it, but he didn't get it. He didn't get forgiveness. It isn't even earned. You can't earn yourself by doing this, praying more or reading the Bible more or going to church more or trying to be good. All of that can have a place, don't get me wrong, but you don't earn this. It's simply received. Salvation is simply received. I receive it. I receive all the conditions, all the merit. I receive everything God says about repentance. I don't try and water it down. I don't try to excuse it. I don't try and change it. I simply receive it by the grace and mercy of God. That's how you receive the word of God. And faith comes by hearing the word of God on that basis of receiving and not trying to change it because of my pride or my circumstances or you know what I'm going through. So often we try to change God's word because of our personality or my background or what I came from or what sort of mother or father I had. Oh, we can come up with all the excuses. And that's, of course, where psychology comes in. Psychology can be a curse to the word of God because it makes excuses. It's simply receiving what he says, and I choose to believe it. And you leave it there. You don't add or subtract to any of it. You leave it there and let the Holy Spirit work that out in your life as you keep humble in his presence. You see, flesh, works, unbelief ignores the cross of Christ. He doesn't want to recognize the cross. This is why a lot of professing believers don't want to hear this teaching. They don't want to hear about the cross because they want to justify every time. And they're fundamentally knocking at the wrong door. They want another door. They don't want the door that Jesus Christ has set into the body of Christ. He says, I am the door. I am the way, I am the truth. But they want to knock on another door. They don't like that door. Christ, who is the door. Why? Because he deals with sin. And it's too big a cost. It's too big a cost. Let's turn to the book of Acts as we bring this to a conclusion. The book of Acts, Acts chapter 4, Acts 4 and verse 12, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other name. There's nobody else. Nobody else can save you. Nobody else can help you. And we all run to man, the arm of the flesh, thinking that it can help us, and it can't. We identify with him. We identify with his death. His death is my death. And that is why we rise up as a new creation in Christ. We die, in fact, every day, daily. I die daily that Christ may be formed in me. That should be our heart, our desire, our confession, our belief, and everything. There are times that, yes, we miss it. There are times that we feel not very Christian. But they're only feelings because we've learned that we walk by faith and not by sight. And whatever's happening, whatever's going on, however I'm feeling, or somebody has said something that's upset me, it doesn't matter. I am dead. I died in Christ. And eventually, it won't affect you. Eventually, it'll be like water on a duck's back. All the while we still get offended, it's still self, and self is pride still in the way. But stay with it, keep coming, keep listening, and the Holy Spirit who's come to convict, he will do that work. Because as I've said, the foundation of the Christian faith is repentance. That is the foundation we stand upon. It is the provision that Christ has given to us, and we do it simply on the basis of receiving. And nothing else. It is simply receiving it, what he says, and allowing him to do that change, that deliverance, and not putting up any excuses, any smoke screen, anything. Just let the Holy Spirit do the cleansing, the healing, the deliverance. We make it so complicated, so difficult. This is why I say so often, as I bring this to a close, the deeper life is about yielding. Just yield to the Spirit, and he will do the rest, because he has come to convict the world. And if he has come to convict the world, then he's also come with healing in his wings as well. He never leaves us in that convicted state, because the blood of Jesus provides them the healing and deliverance. He provides the joy, the blessing, the fellowship, the relationship that is found with God. But we have to get to the root first, in order for change. And it's not always easy. It's not easy when it seems as though others have done what they've done to me. It's very difficult for Christians who've had maybe a father or mother that was hard on them or cruel on them. And they battled resentment and rejection and unforgiveness. It's so easy to carry that over when you receive that gift of forgiveness, to use that to excuse yourself, to excuse why you're still battling resentment or unforgiveness. The reason you're battling unforgiveness is not because of what has happened to you or what your father or mother or whoever did what they did. Your battling is because it's pride that's in the way. Your pride has attached to that resentment, that unforgiveness. And that is what God has to do with. And that is why he says, humble yourselves under the presence of Almighty God. He says, you humble yourselves. And then he gets the devil off our back. And then healing, deliverance can start. But all the while we are justifying ourselves, all the while that we have excuses, all the while we are saying why we've done what we've done, we have missed the mark. We have not fully understood to receive that gift of salvation. That is why the foundation of the Christian faith is repentance. It is always repentance. We start there. Because the Holy Spirit has come to convict. That is where your healing lies. That is where your blessing lies. That is where your peace of mind lies. That is where wholeness to your body lies. That is where you're able to walk by faith and not by sight lies. That is where you're able to trust in God and his word and not in the arm of the flesh. That is where it lies. When we learn to repent, that godly repentance. And very often, pride has to be dealt with first, because that is the biggest hindrance. As I close, I've said to you before, whose problem is pride? Satan. Satan is proud. He thought he could be God. And he tried to usurp the throne of God. And at that point, he was cast out of the presence of Almighty God with a third of the angels that fell with him. He is judged eternally for what he has done. Don't believe him. Don't listen to him, to his lies, his pride. Let the Holy Spirit convict. That is what he has come for. That is what he's doing in our lives. And he knows what he's doing, and he has provided through the cross of Jesus Christ. The provision is there on the basis of simply receiving. That is it. And accept it for what it is. And you will find that you are a sinner that is saved by grace and mercy. And you will find flowing out of you those rivers of living water. You will be a blessing. You will be a joy. You will show the presence and the joy of the Lord. You will want to be about God's business and God's people in fellowship. There's so many of God's people that are depressed. No joy in their face, in their eyes. Heavy. And do you know why? Because they have not learnt yet repentance. True godly repentance. The foundation of Christianity is repentance. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord. We are our own worst enemy. We're looking too much to ourselves and not looking away and looking to the Lord, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we thank you that you bear long with us. You are merciful and gracious. Help us, Father, to not justify when we've fallen short. If we've sinned, we've sinned. Let's face it and call it for what it is. And not blame anything or anyone else. Father, we thank you that the gift of forgiveness is given to your Son, Jesus Christ. May we never, ever turn our backs on that or blaspheme that. For that is our life, our future, our hope, our destiny. And we thank you now for this in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Let him in constancy fall.